Somebody needs to teach me how to run, because my knees hurt all the time when I run.
My knees hurt no matter what, so just do it all.
You know what I actually blame it on? My Under Armour $24 shoes that I've been wearing for like 4 years now and replaced with the exact same pair. Maybe you need like $34 shoes.
Howdy, it's Thursday, April 30th, 2026, and this is episode 278 of Due for a Win, the Atlantic City podcast. I'm Kyle Askin, joined, as always, by Craig Stone. What's good, Craig?
I'll tell you what's good. After a very long absence, our podcast is back on YouTube. Every single episode, all 277, soon to be 278 episodes.
Soon to be 276 after the infamous Sandstorm episode gets taken down.
Oh, yeah, you're right. That'll probably get removed. That's a good point. YouTube is very quick with copyright strikes, too, so that'll probably happen.
And let me tell you, the Sandstorm episode is undefendable. You know, you can't claim fair use on that one.
I needed it to get to a very specific amount of time. I think that would hold up in court. So I don't even remember what episode number that was. But yeah, so everything's on YouTube now, which we had a comment from 2025 mentioning how YouTube now has a podcast service through YouTube Music. So I finally looked into that months and months later. And yeah, I just had to plug in the feed and it took 3 days to upload all the episodes and now they're up. So it's good.
That's good. I mean, I think there's no reason not to. I mean, I think we were getting like 12 listens to every episode we were uploading before, which is why you didn't want to do it. But yeah, every 12 listens counts for something. What? I don't know exactly, but...
Right. I mean, it used to be a lot of work where I had to convert it to a video and slap a thumbnail and a title on it, and now YouTube just does all that for you. So, you know, if you make something easy enough for me, I will do it. Mm-hmm. So if somebody out there makes the shirt thing easy enough for me, there will be t-shirts. Except that I'll probably just veto any design is the problem.
I don't think it was that hard for you last time. I mean, I did all the shipping and sales. That was surely the bulk of the work, right? And, you know, took the huge bath when we just weren't charging enough for shipping the first half of the shirts.
Yeah, that's true. The design, I mean, if you can even call that a design. Yes, I did that. Mm-hmm. So, find the podcast on YouTube. Now you have to change the outro because you say, you know, find our stuff on such and such. Actually, you don't say that anymore, do you?
No, I haven't said that in like 200 episodes. Yeah.
I remember one episode where you said, like, you know, if you want to find a podcast, you're doing a good job.
Right, right. I mean, that was the end of that because it's like, obviously you found it. I shouldn't be advertising to you to listen to the podcast when you're listening to it. At this point, you've made your decision and you can decide for yourself whether you want to continue or not.
Correct. So last episode, we talked a little bit about a trip, and I think we discussed May 5th to 6th or something like that. The dates have changed multiple times since that episode was posted. The dates actually changed before that episode was posted, and I just didn't feel like cutting out that entire section of it.
Originally, we were supposed to be in Atlantic City right now, I think, was the original plan, right?
No, this past Sunday to Monday.
Oh, was it Sunday to Monday?
Yeah. And then it got moved to May 6th and then May 5th. And then now it's May 17th to 18th. That's the new dates. A Sunday to a Monday.
Maybe the 16th. We'll see.
Yeah. So we can talk about that. But it's a very classic due for a win Sunday to Monday. I feel like that's going back to what we've been doing for a while now. Sunday, very easy to get comped rooms, unsurprisingly. So we have a couple of rooms at Ocean and a room at Resorts because my brother's going to go by listener demand, as you heard, I think, a couple episodes ago.
Yeah, the people need Paul. More Paul.
And our friend Dave is also going to go.
That was not by popular demand.
Dave and Paul have rooms booked at Ocean. You have a room booked at Resorts for Sunday night. Saturday, at the very least, three of us are talking about going on Saturday, but we seem to be able to get zero rooms.
Yeah, well, I should be able to get Golden Nugget, I think, if I want to, but want is really the key word there, so.
Here's a question for a would you rather. Which we also just skipped over, by the way.
Go ahead.
Would you rather stay at Golden Nugget Saturday night or just go down Sunday morning?
So I'm in like an interesting situation because I might want to do a match at Golden Nugget at some point. I think if you take the match out, then it's pretty clearly I'd rather stay at Golden Nugget, I think, than not go. But yeah, the match kind of muddles the water a bit because I need to have a certain amount of time with not being in their system. So it's pretty close. I mean, I'd have to really see if that was my only option on Sunday. And, like, frankly, I don't know.
On Saturday.
On Saturday. I could have three people, I guess, in the room, but, like, it's not super comfortable. I mean, certainly we did it when we were younger, but
right.
I feel like I've reached the age where I don't necessarily need to share a bed with one of you guys.
It's true. So lots of places are sold out. Several places are $300 to $500.
Uh-huh.
I checked the new Sea House Hotel, which is a Marriott. It's 80,000 Marriott points. So that's out. Uh-huh. Because, much like last May 17th or 18th when we went, it is the half marathon in Atlantic City. So we always, I feel like we always end up there during yep. the half marathon or the marathon. And we're always like, why are the rooms so expensive? It's off season. And it's because of the running.
Yeah. So last year, if you remember, we were trying to go this Saturday night again, and I was not able to get a comp at Bally's, which they said I had a comp room, but they're just sold out until the week of. So I think that's going to probably be the plan again. And I'm hopeful that something is going to open up the week of and I'll be able to get into Bally's.
Do those rooms in Bally's have a couch? I'll sleep on a couch.
Yeah, I think they, well, so I've never gotten a two queen room in Bally's. I think it's only been one king because I've never had to share a room with someone. So the one king does have a couch, though, for sure.
I'll sleep on a couch if it keeps you from having to have your name on a second comped room. I won't pay $100 and whatever to split a room.
Yeah, yeah. No. I mean, that's true. You and Dave could just look to see what's cheap and split a room or whatever, too.
That's true, yeah. Right now, though, nothing's cheap.
It might get cheaper as we get closer.
I think week of stuff's going to come down. So
yeah.
It may be, you know, very close to the date before we actually make a decision on Saturday night. But
yeah.
It seems like we'd get there Saturday afternoon, evening-ish. Evening probably more likely if we go down Saturday. Otherwise, I would just wake up and go pretty quickly on Sunday and try to get there by like 11 at the latest.
I'd be fine leaving at 6 in the morning on Sunday or whatever and just getting there at 10.
I don't know how Dave would feel about leaving at 6 in the morning, but
I mean, I'm awake well before then every day anyway, so.
So we'll figure that out. One question I had as we were looking for rates is we kept putting through on the Caesars website companion codes, the companion Caesars Rewards account number and zip code and saying, give me a new rate. And it would just not give a new rate. Or for a little while when I added you, it would actually increase my rates, which is insane. But I'm really wondering if they've just quietly killed the companion benefit and it actually does nothing for you to add a companion. At least in my current testing, it seems like nobody that I have the ability to add affects my rates at all.
Yeah, I don't know.
If anybody has tried it recently and had success, let me know. Because I'm wondering if they were just like, what are we doing here? Nobody else does this. Kill it.
Maybe I should try it. Because certainly, like, in the past, it's been that you weren't even allowed to add me as a companion when I was Diamond, right?
Yeah, the higher status person has to add the lower status person. I wonder, or maybe they killed it just for bronze. Like, I mean, for gold? Bronze.
Yeah, I wonder if it's, like, considers me a higher status player than you, even though we have the same status, and maybe it'll be different if I try to add you, but I'm not sure.
I mean, the other thing I wonder is if they look at all gold members as equal in terms of companions, and so it doesn't really get you anything.
It's possible.
We'll just have to keep testing it over and over and over again.
Or their system, as always, could just be borked, and, you know.
Tomorrow it'll work again. It's entirely possible. I remembered that years and years ago, June 2023, we discussed doing a 6 to 7 mile walk from Lucy the Elephant all the way to the lighthouse. And not even just to the lighthouse, but past the lighthouse, going all the way to the end of the boardwalk and then coming back around to the lighthouse. And it seems like May would be good weather for that, but seems like a very hard sell for anyone but us two to do.
Yeah, I would be interested in doing it. I also think that literal the day of the half marathon on the boardwalk is the absolute wrong time to be doing it, considering that there's already going to be a million people running on the boardwalk.
Oh, that's a good point. Yes, no, you can't do it that day. Scrap that entirely. No, you 100% cannot do it on the day of the half marathon.
It would be real bad.
Half marathon just ruining everything.
It's unbelievable.
Don't they know that this is due for a win weekend and has been in the works for approximately 8 days?
Yeah.
We'll figure all that out. I know we have happy hours that we are very eager to go to. Part of the moving around, actually, of the dates was because it's unclear if the Nobu Tenoshi hour... We think it's closed on Tuesdays, right? But there's conflicting
only
information. The Caesars site, I believe, says it's 7 days a week.
It's 7 days a week that it's open, which is every day except Tuesday.
Well, the Caesars site says it's open every day.
Oh, does it?
It says that Nobu is open every day, or it used to.
It might be. It might be now that it's closer to summertime. Maybe it is. But
we also heard from Table Games James, who went to the Nobu Tenoshi Hour, he said that the bartender said that they will not be doing Tenoshi Hour on Tuesdays starting like the week after he went. To which I said, I thought they were already not doing it on Tuesdays.
I mean, Nobu is closed on Tuesdays, I think. Or at least it was, last I checked. So,
yes, closed on Tuesdays. You're right.
Yeah.
So I think this is really making for great content. Now I have to look up what the Caesar site was, because the Caesar site 100% said.
I mean, it might say there's happy hour every day, but I don't think Nobu's open every day. So
it is a day-by-day breakdown if you go to Caesar's. Mm. It's not like happy hours every day, 4 to 6. No, it actually shows Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Yeah, I don't.
Caesars just, you know, they're not great at this.
Caesars is bad at running a hotel casino. I mean, what more can you say?
Oh, nope. They've updated it. Tuesday closed. Except it still says the happy hour is Tuesday, 4 to 6. But the restaurant is closed. So there you go. Uh-huh. All right. So yeah, no Nobu on Tuesday. No Angeloni's Club Madrid on Tuesday. Just a lot of the happy hours that we wanted to do or were excited about were not available.
Do you know, did James have feedback on the actual happy hour itself, though? Or did you get no comment about the quality?
He posted on Twitter. He had no feedback, but he had some very nice pictures of the food. So since we've talked about the Tenoshi hour at Nobu, I have a would you rather. Not the previous would you rather that I hinted at, which was the Golden Nugget thing. This is the real would you rather. Would you rather go to Nobu Tenoshi hour every trip or never go to Nobu Tenoshi Hour again and try two different happy hours every trip?
The fact that it's not 100% obvious shows you how much I really like Tenoshi Hour.
Yeah, I was going to say you can go to Tenoshi Hour like once a year, but I feel like that's too easy then.
No,
like,
it's too easy.
Then
it's
you
too
just
easy.
Take the happy hours, right? You take the different ones.
Yeah. Oh, it's so tough. I mean, if you could promise that the Tenoshi Hour would like always be open, it'd always be just like it was last time I went. It's surprisingly tough, given how much I like variety. I think I would still say two different happy hours every trip, but it would crush me to give up Tenoshi Hour.
So I haven't been to the Tenoshi Hour, so I can't use that. But I have to take Angeloni's Club Madrid instead of Nobu, which, as we've discussed, I love the vibes. And I think the drinks are very, very good. I would be also like devastated to not go to Angeloni's Club Madrid again. But I think I also would have to take the two different happy hours. There's just too many happy hour options out there.
What if it was Angeloni's Club Madrid and Super Frico? So you could go to either one of those every trip or choose two every trip, but not including Angeloni's Club Madrid and Super Frico.
I think I still want to try the new happy hours. There's just too many things on the list.
Yeah. I bet if you gave me another good option for a happy hour, a second one, you might push me to taking two instead of all.
Well, you are not absolutely in love with Angeloni's, so that wouldn't be the second one.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Angeloni's wouldn't do it, and Super Frico certainly wouldn't do it. But I'm sure there's another one out there. Like, what's my second favorite happy hour?
Doherty's, maybe?
Doherty's is good. I think if it's Doherty's and Nobu, I might take that. I mean, it's, like, very seafood heavy then, but...
Yeah, I was going to say either, like, Osu or the sushi place at resorts, but that's all sushi then.
Yeah. You know, if it's Doherty's or Nobu, I might say Doherty's and Nobu.
Yeah.
We need to go to Doc's happy hour sometime.
We should. The line goes around the block.
Yeah.
We actually got an email from Jim H. about a happy hour. He emailed saying that he went to the happy hour at the Mexico restaurant and bar on Ventnor Avenue near Stockton University.
So that's kind of close to like Knife and Fork, I guess, right?
Maybe a couple blocks from there. Happy hour there is 4 to 6 p.m. They have $4 to $6 appetizers, $8 cocktails, $6 wine, $6 Jornitos tequila shots, $4 Mexican beers. Jim said they have great chimichangas and excellent mole sauce.
Sounds great.
It sounds awesome. The menu looks awesome.
I would love it. I'm all in.
So just like seeing these little things pop up that I didn't even know existed, right, makes me want to do so many things. So like Doherty's and Nobu or Doherty's and Angeloni's or Angeloni's and Super Frico. Like I love those things and I would be really sad to cut out any really one of those four things. But like,
all right, you talk me into it. I would take the field, I guess, instead of just two.
This is why I have to take the field, because like Cardinal, which we've done, Knife and Fork we've done, Docks we haven't done for happy hour, Girasol we've never done, Amada at Ocean, Chafe Reeds, you've done the Gordon Ramsay ones, we've done Morton's, but there's just so many. I mean, there's like 15 in Tropicana alone. Vic and Anthony's at Golden Nugget we still haven't done.
We've tried twice and I think it's been full, so.
Dos Caminos at Golden Nugget has a happy hour. La Strada at the Chore at Harrah's has a happy hour only on very few days.
It is Harrah's, so it's contractually obligated to only be open like half of the days and like half of the time during the day.
Yeah. There's just so many places that I want to try that it would be hard to restrict myself to a couple. Plus, it would be bad for the pod.
Yeah, it would be bad for the pod. But I'd be fine stopping it being the Atlantic City pod and just making it the Tenoshi Hour pod. It would be okay.
Just every episode, you have to pick a new thing on the menu to discuss in depth.
Would be great.
People would probably prefer that over the data, which guess what we have today?
Yeah, we'll get to.
You have an item on this agenda that I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, so we got a comment. It was a couple episodes ago, and I meant to bring it up last episode, but I forgot, so I made a note. We had a listener write in who had feedback when I was mentioning the studies that have been done on the kind of prevalence of DraftKings, etc., and the problems it's causing in society. And basically his point was that he has been working on, maybe it's not another study, but like an analysis of these studies, and I think that the claim is they're not very good and are going through revision now because they just weren't very good the first time, and the media has just run with them despite them not being accepted to any journals, etc., etc. So, I mean, I think we can wait and see. I believe that the listener's study was funded by the casinos, so there is like that piece of information, but it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, the information he's giving me is wrong. So I think we should maybe wait and see a little bit on how it ends up shaking out. I mean, I do think sometimes the media runs with things that isn't quite ready to run with.
Oh, yeah. I have a journalism degree. And one of the things that we talked about a lot in higher level journalism classes was like how awful the media is at describing studies and, mm-hmm. and pulling results to the point where you'll get two headlines reading the same study that have absolutely contradicting reads of that of the results of the study. So, yeah, that's why they made us take a statistics class at University of Maryland School of Journalism.
I will still say for me, I think that gambling on your phone is probably not a great thing, but I will not claim that there's necessarily a ton of rock solid data to back that up. So it's my opinion.
One of the things you said in that discussion that really hit home for me was just the idea that the gambling companies are there to like take every cent of your disposable income, the online phone gambling companies.
Mm-hmm.
As we've discussed, I've had to use BetMGM to keep my comp dollars at Borgata from expiring. And so again, I was about to hit 6 months, and so I hopped on and made a bet. And the sheer amount of notifications that they are doing to try to get you in the habit of betting all the time, and the way they give you the bonus, which is the bonus for the deposit that I got this time was a deposit match, 100% deposit match.
Mm-hmm.
I deposited 20 whole dollars and I got 10 $2 bonus bets. That was my deposit match. And I realized when I was trying to go through these $2 bets is the reason they're doing that is so that you get in the habit of making tons of sports bets. Is so you're always on your phone making bets, and then they're just constantly pinging you with reminders. So it just doesn't feel great. And I was very happy when I used the last of the $2 bets, which actually lost last night. Like, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to have to think about this. I don't want to get these stupid alerts. I can turn this thing off, you know, for another 6 months and hopefully actually use my comp dollars before then so I don't have to keep thinking about it. But yeah, it's very annoying and feels very, I don't want to say invasive because I feel like that's kind of loaded, but it's just constantly reminding you like, hey, you should go on. Here's a little bet boost. You should really bet on this NBA game tonight. Or this game's about to start in 15 minutes. Here's a little token that you can use to increase your odds in the game.
You know, I see it as kind of similar to alcohol in a lot of ways, in that it's something that like 80% of people or whatever can like handle just fine and have like a reasonably healthy relationship with it. But obviously, if there was an app on your phone that was like, hey, you want us to just raise your BAC by like 0.02, like hit the button or whatever and pay us $3, I think people would clearly see that as perhaps not the greatest thing in the world.
Yeah.
You know, them pushing you if you haven't done it in a while to do it and like, oh, yeah, we'll give you some like free shots or whatever. I don't know. It's like how I see it.
Yeah, and all this stuff has been done by in-person casinos forever. It's just that in-person casinos weren't in your pocket.
Right, there's more friction.
The casinos have always, you know, oh, you haven't been 6 months. We've missed you. Here's $25 free play. Here's dining credit.
Not only is there friction, like I think there's other like good parts of actually getting out of your house and going to the casino and doing something, or getting out of your house and going to the bar and getting a drink, or if that's what you have to do, rather than sitting on your phone and pushing a button and like, you know, getting this transfusion into your bloodstream of whether it be like alcohol or having some sort of juice going on a game.
I will say I play hockey on Friday nights, and it seems like half the team has action on something every single night. Like they're on their phones watching some game. I may have said this in the last episode. We don't have to rehash the whole conversation, which we've already almost done. But good to know about the feedback, because certainly it's something that we sort of stated as fact, right?
Right. Yeah, I mean, I stated it as fact, yes, because that's what I had read in the media. And like in the listener's defense, it sounds like it was taken from like drafts of studies or whatever, and they haven't been published. And like, I think it's all valid feedback, independent of where the money came from to like point this out or whatever.
Yeah, so I'm sure there'll be a bunch of stuff about, you know, oh, there's correlation, blah, 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 blah.
And if you feel like I'm misrepresenting what you've said, you can write me back and I'll try to correct it again.
So the big news around me is that this week...
Yeah, I saw some stories about it.
The very first full-fledged casino in New York opened. It's Resorts World in Queens. It's been there actually since 2011, so it's not actually a new casino. It's been a racino, and it's had class 2 like bingo slots and no table games.
Famously, we have a pre-podcast post, I think, about either the one in Queens or the one in Yonkers or whatever.
Oh, I don't remember that. Oh, about people destroying the slot machines?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that was a thing for a while. So weirdly, it has had electronic table games. Like, it's had electronic Baccarat and some other electronic table games, which I think there is always sort of this, like, these aren't really legal in New York yet, but nobody's going to say anything. So now it's a full-fledged casino with table games. It opened on Tuesday. And obviously, there's sort of this feeling of, you know, as soon as stuff opened in New York City, it was going to really siphon off stuff from Atlantic City. So we'll get to data later, not that this data is going to have anything to do with a casino that opened 2 days ago. But what's your feeling on the first few casinos, which will be opening soon in New York City, and how much in New York in general, how much impact are they going to have on Atlantic City?
I don't think the first one opening is going to make a huge difference, would be my guess. I mean, we'll see, I guess, as more revenue comes out. But I don't think the first one certainly is going to do a whole lot.
Yeah, I mean, my feeling about this one in particular is it was already a casino.
Right. Is this the one next to JFK?
Yeah. So I don't think they're going to get a ton of people. I mean, they'll get a lot of people that they weren't already getting, but I don't think they're going to get a ton of people who are going to Atlantic City long term. Maybe some people will check it out, but I just can't imagine it. Although, I don't know. Maybe it's the win, and I'm just totally underselling how nice it is and how great it is.
Yeah. You need to check it out, man. You need to do a report for the pod.
I should. I think I could get to Atlantic City in about the amount of time it would take me to drive to Queens.
I mean, how far could it be? I mean, you should be able to get there in a somewhat reasonable amount of time if you just go after work one day, right?
That's true, yes. I am right by Queens, right by the lines that go to Queens. Although not that part of Queens, so I don't know. I was going to say what I should do is go to, like, a Mets game and then go to Resorts World, but yeah. I don't think the Mets stadium is all that close to that either, is it?
Yeah, I think the Mets are, like, up in the north part of Queens, and JFK is all the way at the south.
I mean, I should go, but it just seems like a huge pain.
You should go. I mean, I hear Mets tickets are like $3 or something.
Yeah, they probably are very cheap.
I read an article about how cheap they were.
I should go to a Mets game, but that has nothing to do with Resorts World. The weird thing that came out just before this is that Hard Rock, who has always said that they would be interested in opening something in North Jersey, mm-hmm. has sold their interest in a potential Meadowlands casino near MetLife Stadium in North Jersey to the ownership group who they were in partnership with. So they are out. They pulled out of that whole plan. It's kind of odd because what I've said the whole time is once New York City casinos are in full flight and doing well, someone is going to make the case that we need casinos in North Jersey to take back some of that revenue for the state of New Jersey, even if it means crushing Atlantic City. The other side of this is Hard Rock is part of the group building a casino near Citi Field, speaking of the Mets. So I wonder if that's part of that. Like, well, we've got our New York casino. We don't want to be sitting around waiting for this Meadowlands thing that may never happen.
Right. No, I agree. I don't think it tells us a lot about their thoughts on the general New York area casinos at all, or like the potential future legality of casinos in New Jersey outside of Atlantic City.
Yeah. So,
I don't know.
It is very funny. I mean, I know one of the big companies backed out. Was it MGM? Yeah, I think MGM backed out of their New York casino plan in general, saying that they're too close together. And it is very funny that like Hard Rock and Resorts World are both in Queens, and then there's like, you know, Yonkers. So that it just feels like they're all kind of clustered in areas in areas that are like easy to get to for similar areas, I guess I'd say. So that's the non-Atlantic City news. Let's get back to Atlantic City.
All right. So you're ready that the buildings on the Garden Pier are being demolished? ... For what? So all I could say about the Garden Pier is we tried to go like 2 weeks after they allegedly opened up a beer garden there and it was already closed because # Bart things. I've never actually been out there.
Yeah, the Garden Pier used to have the...
It used to have a museum, right?
Yeah, the History of Atlantic City Museum. Mm-hmm. That closed, I think, after one of the big storms and reopened very briefly and then closed again. And the pier a long time ago was bought by Bart Blatstein, who owns the Showboat. And he tried a couple of things there. Neither of them took off at all.
I mean, like I said, it was literally like 3 weeks after he announced that it's a beer garden now that we tried to go and it was closed. So.
Right. So, yeah, they've been demolishing. The buildings looked very nice. One of the commenters on the Facebook post about it, which I'll link to, but I think it's in a private group. It's in the Everything AC, Everything Atlantic City group, which is not the same thing as the Everything AC Casinos group. It's really annoying how many clone groups there are. But one of the comments was somebody said that they could see that the roof had been sort of caving in for a while now. So maybe it's just a matter of the buildings are in bad shape, and so they had to go. But yeah, they're being torn down. So that's that. Any thoughts on the Garden Pier, RIP Garden Pier?
Not really. I mean, we'll see if something interesting goes there. But does Bart still own it?
Yeah.
I assume so, right? Yeah. So I'm not going to hold my breath for it being something super interesting. But
outdoor arcade.
Gym equipment and dinosaurs.
Yes. One of the restaurants in the Showboat has changed yet again. The thing that was the Luminata. I can't remember what it is, though.
I don't, you know, it's impossible to keep up with what's going on in there.
I would say, oh, I'm doing such a bad job of knowing what's there. I don't think it's even updated on their website what the restaurant is. So,
who knows?
You know, it's too confusing to keep up with. And by the time this episode comes out, it'll be closed again.
Is it still Brickers? Is it still Ace? Does anyone know like what anything is in there? I certainly don't.
I believe it's Shell Don's Seafood Shack.
Okay.
That's where they've moved the all-you-can-eat seafood buffet. So they've moved it from the volleyball courts, which is now occupied by dinosaurs. So you can't have a seafood buffet there, to Shell Don's Seafood Shack, which used to be Limonada and used to be the Surf mm-hmm. Shack and all that stuff. So that's the new thing there.
All right.
It's exhausting to keep up with.
I know. Unbelievable.
We also, by the way, didn't talk about the stabbing that happened in Showboat in the last episode.
We did not. Yeah.
That did happen. So.
Yeah.
Do you want to stay at Showboat next
I do not. You and Dave can, though.
It's like $350 also.
For the pod.
We got a question on Facebook that I thought was a pretty good question.
So Chuck F. on Facebook asks, why is there any excitement for the Container Park? There are so many empty storefronts on the boardwalk, the basically vacant Pier Mall, the empty Tanger shops.
Tanger? Outlets?
The outlets, yeah. And the storefront south of the convention center that I don't think have ever had stores in them except the arcade, as I recall.
By the convention center, I think he means Boardwalk Hall.
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, certainly there is a load of unused retail storefronts all over Atlantic City. I think the outlets do well, and I think it's a really good outlet center, but there's certainly available space there. There's a lot of either unoccupied or very rarely open stuff on the boardwalk. So I think it is a good question. Initially, I took this as very like antagonistic of like, oh, why are you being excited? But I think it's a good question. Like, what is driving us to be excited about this new retail thing when there's already all this potential space for people who want to open a shop that clearly there's no demand for it?
Well, so I think I don't know if you saw, I replied and then he replied again to me. So I think I slightly misunderstood the point. It seemed like, and you can correct me, Chuck, if I'm wrong, that his point was everything else has failed in Atlantic City. Like, why do you think this is going to be any different? But I didn't take it that way at first. I thought it was more like anyone who wants to move into Atlantic City has all this open storefronts. Why are we specifically excited about this thing? And I replied that basically all these empty storefronts are going to stay empty for a while because commercial real estate's like a very strange business. And like they really do not drop prices ever effectively for reasons I don't fully understand, honestly. So I think there being these Container Park, which is one very fast to open up, one would think, because it's a container with a window cut into it.
Yeah.
It should be easy to open up. You know, presumably the rents are going to be priced at a level such that people are going to actually want to move in. You don't do it if you don't think that people are going to move in. I think the Orange Loop's already kind of cool. So something else that's cool in the Orange Loop is only going to be a good thing. So, I mean, I am excited about it. So what do you think?
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with rent. I mean, I don't actually know anything. Maybe it's not cheaper than opening something on the boardwalk, but my guess is boardwalk real estate's more expensive, and certainly in casino real estate's more expensive.
Also, you're building like a little community or whatever on the Orange Loop, right? Like it's going to be a cool place to be. And the thing with businesses is you can help the whole overall area if you have like enough of these cool places in one spot. Whereas if, let's say you open a good restaurant, like there's been a couple Mexican restaurants that have been pretty decent on the boardwalk and none of them really quite work out because they're just on their own.
Right. It's one thing if you're a single store owner or restaurant owner who wants to open something. But I think what Mark Colazzo can do here, is curate a group of little cool things that can go together in this shipping container area and create a little like boutique area where people can go wander around and see a bunch of stuff in a very short amount of time and make it a little cool collective thing. Like you said, a little community where you go and it's worth going out of your way, and people are already going out of their way because there's other stuff over there.
Right.
That's Tennessee Avenue Beer Hall and Cardinal and the Chocolate Place and Heyday Coffee and the Irish Pub if it ever reopens and King. So there's like stuff in that area to draw people over there. And I think I just trust the group behind this to do things that draw people off the boardwalk because they've proven that they can do it. I think that's where my excitement is, because it's not just relying on a bunch of individual actors to do something. It's like one person with a proven track record who I think potentially we could see a little like cool thing pop up here.
Yeah.
His follow-up, I think, was also saying, you know, even if it works out in the short term, is it really viable long-term?
Right. It's going to fail in the long term because of New York and North Jersey casinos, et cetera, et cetera. Like, is the whole city viable? But, you know, I mean, we have an Atlantic City podcast, so, I mean, I don't know what you want us to do.
I mean, I think it's just such a macro issue at that point.
Right. I am legitimately personally excited for this, and that's how I feel. Is it rational or not? I think it's rational, but who knows?
Yeah, and I mean, certainly there's a lot of people who are very bearish on Atlantic City as a whole and development in Atlantic City because of New York casino stuff. And that's potentially warranted, but like, we can't do anything about that.
If that's how I felt, I wouldn't have an Atlantic City podcast, you know? You know what? Like, I'm going to die. Everyone I love is going to die. All my ideas are going to turn into dust. And like, I don't know, it's still worth enjoying life, right? So I don't know what the future of Atlantic City is going to be, but
yeah, I mean, honestly,
like,
though,
I'm excited about it.
To not go just totally like nihilist on it. The future where nothing is viable is a future where there's no podcast, right? So, like, we can't really worry about that now.
Right.
I think that's... I'm not going to go as far as, like... Well, we're all going to die somewhere. Someday,
Kyle. I mean, it's true.
Who knows? Maybe AI will, you know, make us live forever.
Yeah. Propagate our ideas on forever.
We could certainly set up AI to continue running the podcast forever. Think about that.
Who knows? We may have already have.
We made this exact joke last episode.
Yeah, every episode. That's how you can tell there's a glitch in the system.
Well, you know, AI does repeat itself a lot, so. Man, this is our best episode ever, so.
All right, we've talked about that story, so I think we're onto the data.
Yes, we are.
So I guess we can just talk about the data first.
Let's do it.
So in March, Atlantic City was up 2.5% year over year, but there were only three gainers and really only two significant gainers. Borgata was up 15% and Caesars was up 17.5%. I don't know. And the big losers were Golden Nugget was down 13% and Resorts was down 12%. So what are your thoughts on how March went?
Up 2.5% is fine.
It's good.
Until you realize that March of 2025 was a full 5-weekend month and 2026 was only a 4-weekend month. So that seems great.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
But then what you just mentioned, Ocean was up 2%, but Borg and Caesar's up 15%+. Those were the only two that really did anything great. That seems not great. So this is a weird month of good and bad.
And let me tell you, we'll get to it. The Caesar's numbers are, their luck was insane. So,
well, the weird thing about Caesar's, though, is they're up year over year in March, up year over year in February, up year over year in January. But then if you go to December, they were down 16% from the previous December. November, they're down 24% from the previous November. So like the odds of this 3-month run, I never would have guessed it. And I'm guessing it will not hold up. But like it's very weird that they've had three positive months because they were so down in the mud leading into this year. So I don't know. I guess it's like a bad baseball team going on a 5-game winning streak. Like it happens in a 162-game season. But
you know what it is? Us hawking Tenoshi Hour is really what's turned them around. I mean, they turned around right when we started talking about Tenoshi Hour.
It's a good point. It's a really good point.
They should be paying us, you know, some percentage of their rake.
We've gone to Caesars twice in a row. I believe we even said that we've changed our tune a bit on Caesars after the last trip.
Tenoshi Hour is incredible. So,
you know, we went to the Hook. We went to Morton's Happy Hour.
Yeah, the Hook was nice. Morton's was fine.
Morton's was the definition of...
It was fine.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Let me tell you. Those old ladies next to us had the time of their lives. But
they were psyched about it.
Oh, yeah.
My one drink was pretty good. So,
yeah, I didn't love either drink that I had there. We had the Blackberry Margarita and we had the Jack Daniel's Old Fashioned. I didn't love either.
I would say they were both good, not great. But you don't like sweet, so.
They were both fine, not good.
We have questions about the data that we've been holding for months.
Yeah, so... Pat G says, Kyle sometimes refers to the lucky months when discussing casino revenue. What data points is he looking at? And since people love financial talk so much, can you guys take a one-time walk through the monthly results? Like, is it disaggregated table, slots, food, etc.? All right, so I could talk a little bit about the data. If you go to the New Jersey Department of Gaming Enforcement.
Yes, Division of Gaming Enforcement.
Yes, DGE, yes. They have the financial results broken down by casino. It is not broken down by individual table game, but it is broken down by table games, poker, and slot machines. And they have two numbers. They have the drop, so it's the equivalent of revenue, although that's not what we mean when we say revenue or whatever. And they have basically what they managed to keep from that drop. So
it's like the amount played and then their win.
Right. So if I cash in $100 at the blackjack table and I get $80 from the cage afterwards, that means that I added $100 to their drop and their win was $20 from me. What I mean when I'm talking about lucky months and not lucky months is just from looking at the data for so long. It's a very inexact science, but it seems like generally for table games, the win and loss percentage is right around 15-16% normally, something like that. And the slot machine win is like 9.5%, just about. So I just tend to like look at the numbers and look at these percentages, which are in the report that the Department of Gaming Enforcement releases. Just looking at it now, Bally's has like a 13% table game win and a 10% slot machine win.
Over 10% slot machine win, Bally's. Hey!
You know, it averages out to be just about close enough to normal that like nothing's crazy. Borg has a 22% table game win, which is crazy, and a 9% slot machine win, which is maybe a little below average, but that's obviously going to be a good month for them, especially because they get so much of their money compared to the other casinos from table games. Caesars has 9.7% slot machine and 25% basically table game win, which is just insane. So they were above average, I think, in both slot and table, and like the table game hold percent was just way higher than you could expect. So their luck was crazy. Like, what's a bad luck? So Golden Nugget had bad luck. They had average slot machine luck with 9.4%, but only 10% table game were they able to keep. But it doesn't affect them too much because they basically don't make any money off of table games. Like, they're only slots, more or less. Anything else jump out? Hard Rock, I'd say, is very average. Harrah's probably averages out to be an average this month. Ocean, a little bit below average, frankly, so the fact they were up is pretty good for them. Yeah, Resorts had just a horrific luck month. They kept 7% of their table game, which, like I said, you should expect around 15. But they also don't do very much table game business, so it's not as huge of a deal for them as it would be for Borg or Hard Rock. Trop was incredibly lucky. Over 10% in slot machine, over 20% in table game, and they still managed to go down month over month. So good job, Trop, being bad at running a casino. Honestly, we have the data. We could actually find the actual luck involved from history, but, you know, I just eyeball it. Tropicana, Caesars, Borgata, I'd say pretty lucky this month. Golden Nugget Resorts, pretty unlucky, frankly. That's pretty much how I do it. And you should just link to the March 2026 PDF in the show notes, just so people can look at it if they want to.
So one thing that I never really thought about until this very conversation, but it's jumping out at me now, is like a lot of people talk about, oh, the slot hold is 8%, you know, or something in that range, but we don't actually know what it is. But like with this data, we can see what they're holding.
Yeah. 9.5%, I'd say, is about the average.
It is, but in my spot checking, Bally's, every month I've looked, just in the last few minutes while you're talking, has the highest hold. Like, it's over 10% most of the time. If it goes under 10, it's 9.9 or 9.6. So, you know, think about that if you're thinking about playing slots at Bally's. They're taking more of your money.
I mean, I think a lot of that, it's probably not necessarily that they're tighter, because I think it's kind of set, as far as I know. I could be wrong, and you can correct me if I am. But I think there is an upper limit set by the state. I think it's probably more that people are cashing in less, which raises their risk of ruin significantly at Bally's, just because it's a low roller casino. Remember, the less money you put in, the more likely you are to lose it all, just because that's how risk of ruin works. So I would expect that the hold would end up looking a bit larger than one. Well, yeah, I think more or less it does end up working out that way.
Yeah, I mean, I think the hold could be pretty high from the state. I can't find exactly what the maximum is.
Oh, can it? Maybe. I mean, maybe the machines are tighter at Bally's. I don't know.
I guess potentially in any one month, you could argue like, oh, well, they've got a bunch of progressives and the progressives haven't hit. But then you'd expect one month to be bad, right? If they hit a bunch of progressives. But yeah, it seems like they're very consistently at 10% or higher. And it's actually rare that they drop below 10%, whereas all the other ones, it seems like they're always in the nines just about, and sometimes they're in the eights. So I'm never playing slots at Bally's again, is what I'm saying.
I mean, I thought you were going to never play slots at Bally's anyway before this.
I don't like it. I don't like it for sure.
I mean, they're very generous to table game players. Them and Resorts are definitely, in terms of comps, I think by far the two strongest compers for table games in Atlantic City. I mean, they comp me very well.
Yeah, I never play table games anywhere, but I don't play table games at either of those. I found Borgata to be surprisingly generous.
Yeah, Borgata's generous, too. They are. I mean, Ocean, as we talked about, certainly hates video poker players at minimum, if not just slot players in general.
Yeah, I think Resorts doesn't like video poker either, which makes sense.
Right. That has like a 1% hold or whatever if it's 9-6. Yeah.
You know, we talk about a 10% hold, 9% hold on slots. I mean, there's no 9-6 anywhere, but you're probably getting 2 to 4% hold on video poker, so it's not nearly as high. I mean, I'm playing a lot more money in video poker than I'm playing in slots, but yeah, that's the data. Interesting to look at. Interesting to look at the breakdown again.
Yeah. I think that's about it. So thank you guys very much for listening. If you want to reach out to us or any of our other listeners, you can do so at our Facebook group, facebook.com/group/2forawin. Find all of our great content at 2forawin.com. Reach out to Craig on Twitter at 2forawin or me at Kyle Askin, and send Craig questions at 2forawin@gmail.com. And, you know, you can find us on Spotify, YouTube, iTunes.
It's Apple Podcasts now. It hasn't been iTunes for like years and years.
Whatever your favorite podcatcher is.
Yes.
And I don't think people use that word anymore, but
who knows? So, Atlantic City in a little over 2 weeks.
All right.
It'll be less than 2 weeks by the time this gets posted.
Yeah. So I guess we'll have one more episode before then. We can talk about what we're doing. We'll hopefully know if we're going on Saturday by then.
Yeah, that's the big thing. If anybody's running in the race, let us know. We'll make some signs and cheer you on.
Note that Craig said that, not me.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to do that. Nobody's going to reach out. All our listeners are actually bots. So are we.
So are we, yeah. I mean, comes full circle. Anyway, I hope I filled everyone with existential dread. So, and I'll talk to you all in 2 weeks.
There's only one way to solve that, and that's to go to AC.
Yeah. It is the meaning of life.
My boss has encouraged me to go to some conferences.
In Atlantic City?
Or like one conference, because that's the budget.
In Las Vegas?
So, of course, my immediate thought was like, Las Vegas, baby, let's figure this out.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, the first one that popped up was in Orlando. And I was like, that's going to look so obvious. Like, hey, the first conference I ever request is Orlando. And then I'm looking through the list, and it's literally like Orlando, 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 Anaheim, Orlando. Phoenix in July.